I'm Nick Wallace. This is reporting Depp v. Heard. Regular updates from the court in the celebrity trial of the century.
Welcome to another episode of reporting Depp v. Heard. We had Johnny Depp on the stand for the entire day today, so it's going to be quite tricky to summarise exactly everything that he said, but I'll try and sort of group it together into themes. We had Johnny Depp talking about the insults that Amber Heard would spray in his direction and how they would create these circular arguments which never had any resolution. So his way of dealing with them eventually, when he realised that he was never going to win or that that they were never going to be able to come to kind of a sensible stop, was by hiding himself away. What he did as a child, and he was very keen to draw that illusion between his childhood and Amber Heard, to the extent that he said, "I essentially found out that I'd married my mother," the barrage of psychological and emotional torment that he'd suffered. So that's how it was set up. Then he talks about having children and how he realised his job, once he had his first child, his daughter, was to be a perfect father, or as good a father as he possibly could be. And yet Amber Heard, he says, constantly disparaged his parenting ability. He also then went on to detail the violence that he says she perpetrated against him. Now, we didn't get any of this in the court case in London in 2020. And he went into some detail describing incidents which are well known, but which have never featured Amber Heard being violent towards him. He didn't hold back this time, explaining how she'd roundhoused him, allegedly, how she would come at him slapping him or scratching him, or one time when he tried to stop her hitting him, he put her in a bear hug and she just continued kicking him. And that's how the infamous headbutt incident appeared. She said, "Oh, you broke my nose, you headbutted me." And he was very much of the view that, yes, there may have been some contact between his head and hers, but he didn't break her nose. However, after she claimed he'd broken her nose, there was a revelation which I'd never heard before, which was that after she said, "Oh, you broke my nose, Johnny," she apparently disappeared from the room and then returned 7 or 8 minutes later with a tissue up her nose. And she pulled it out and showed him what she said was blood on the end of the tissue. He, I think by this stage of the relationship, was very suspicious of her, and he said he waited till she left the room and he inspected the tissue which she dropped in the bin, and he said that there was actually nail varnish on the tissue, red nail varnish rather than blood, which is an allegation and a half. We also dealt with the poo incident. I wondered whether or not to discuss this, but people seem to make a great deal of it, and I think you're going to find it in the New York Post tomorrow. I was speaking to the journalist. He was very alive to the poo incident. Now, this was after their relationship had basically disintegrated in 2016. Johnny Depp had left the penthouse in the Eastern Columbia building where they used to live and was living at his house on Sweetser Avenue in Los Angeles. And he knew that Amber Heard was at Coachella Festival. And so he said to his security, "Why don't we go down to the penthouse and I can just grab some of my stuff, you know, continue to do the process of moving out of the building." And security apparently said to him, no, it's not a good time actually, boss." And he said, no, it's a great time because Amber's at Coachella, so we're not going to run into each other." And he then was shown a photograph of what he describes as human fecal matter, or what he later described as a grumpy, lying on the bed in their penthouse. He thought it was just so out there that he found it funny. But the defence all along has been that this fecal matter was something to do with their two dogs, Pistol and Boo. I can't believe I can remember the name of Johnny Depp's dogs. I'm getting too into this trial. But Johnny was absolutely adamant that these little 4-pound dogs could no way produce the size of the grumpy, which he saw on the photograph shown to him by his security detail. And he said he understood why they didn't want him to potentially go down to the building then. But he did describe the human fecal matter as belonging to Amber Heard in court today. Not quite sure how it's relevant to the case, but it seems to cause a bit of a storm every time it comes up. So there you go. That was the contested grumpy on the... I've never heard that phrase before. It's why I can't stop saying it. But that was... that was that. So what have we done? We've done the arguments, we've done the nail varnish, and we've done the poo. Oh yeah, the very end of his testimony today, before he was cross-examined in the last 20 minutes of court time, Johnny Depp was asked what effect the article that Amber Heard wrote in the Washington Post had had on him. And he talked about it in borderline emotional terms, but he said he'd lost everything. Yet, he struggled rather to say exactly what he had lost as a specific result of the article, which is, of course, what this defamation suit is about. It's not about the evidence that we've heard before. The jury has to make a decision based on the contents of the article. And whilst there very much is an argument for saying, well, they're all wrapped in together, they're all an effect, they're all a cause, they're all tied in with his relationship and the 2016 allegations of domestic violence, on a legal and technical level, there is clearly an argument for separating them out, because for the accusation of defamation to succeed, it has to be about the contents of that article. So, when Johnny Depp's cross-examination began this afternoon, that's what the attorney focused on. He said, you're not named in this, apart from this paragraph, which references what happened 2 years ago. It has nothing to do with the previous relationship that you had with Amber Heard. And also, you can't point to anything specific that you have lost as a result of this article. So that set the tone for the way I think the cross-examination is going to go. It was very interesting to see the change in Johnny Depp's demeanour as well when he was being cross-examined. He was quite ponderous and slow and a little hesitant when he was giving evidence from his attorneys, But he was much more on the front foot and rebarbative when it came to Ben Rottenborn, Amber Heard's attorney. So we'll see if that style continues into tomorrow. But first, I want to share with you a clip from Court TV, which is an American channel which covers court cases all over America. They have the pool broadcasting rights to this particular trial. Today, they were covering Depp v. Heard, and they asked me to be a guest on their debrief show.
And in Washington, D.C., journalists from overseas who cover Depp's UK libel trial, Nick Wallace, is with us. You can also check him out on the Reporting Depp v. Heard podcast. You must check it out. Must check it out, folks. And Nick Wallace, of course, is there inside the courtroom for all of this. Nick Wallace, the story we're hearing from Johnny Depp is that he is the victim.
Yeah, he spoke of being slapped. He spoke of being kicked. Now, we didn't hear much about this in the 2020 trial. We didn't hear any evidence from Johnny Depp about Amber Heard attacking him, but it was all here today, talking about the scratches that he received, the roundhouse punch, the lot. And that put everything into an entirely different context. And he was very, very quick to draw parallels with his childhood relationship with his mother. And I think that may well be a strategy throughout this. It's his way of presenting himself as a victim. And I have to say, it was very, very credible evidence and testimony to be sitting there and watching it. He held the room with those lengthy pauses as you felt that he was groping for exactly the right way to explain himself.
Yeah, it is so different than any other witness I've ever seen or heard.
Will you look at this? Who's waiting on the park bench for the park bench interview after the second day of Johnny Depp's evidence? It's Shani Painter. Shani, how lovely to have you.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Listen, right, okay, well, let's get into what we've seen over the last 7 hours of evidence. Johnny Depp mainly being examined. We had a little bit of cross-examination at the end, which we'll get to. But detail and revelation, which we didn't even get in the 2020 court case. I mean, a lot of stuff was coming out there, and he was given the time to say it, wasn't he?
Right, which is really unique. That's what stands out to me, is how long he's able to just drone on and on, answer his questions. You know, at times it seems like he's a stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
And maybe he gets around to answering the exact question that was asked of him. But he's given free rein on his direct examination, which I really don't see a lot at all without objections from...
Well, it's a big contrast to the other witnesses. Because
yes,
the other witnesses, you've got the attorneys jumping up and down like jack-in-the-boxes,
exactly,
objecting to every other sentence. So I wonder whether they've cut each other a deal, whether we're going to see something similar with Amber Heard.
That's possible. I think we will. But I don't think her answers will be so long, given what we've heard of her on the recordings.
Yes.
And whatnot. Very different tone.
Yeah.
But also, it could be strategic in that her team thinks the more the jury hears and sees of Johnny Depp may not be favorable to him. Maybe they're hoping that they don't like him or connect with him or think he is not being completely credible in front of them. So maybe they're not objecting as much because they think their truth will come out more.
So how were you reading the jury? Am I allowed to ask this question?
Yes.
How were you reading the jury?
That is my full-time job. I watch juries almost every day for Court TV. So I feel like if I have a backup career, maybe it's as a jury analyst. But so what surprised me the most yesterday is Johnny Depp is on the witness stand and they're treating him or reacting to him as if he's any other witness so far in the trial. The same reaction. Nothing overt, serious, occasional notes, no real nodding or anything.
Yeah, but there's a lot of, they are quite impassive actually.
Today, I did notice a little shift.
Go on.
So there's the one woman who sits on the front row of the jury box, the only one woman on the front row of the jury box, and she seemed to be a little more empathetic towards him today in that she would nod when he looked over towards the jury box. Mm-hmm. She took a little more notes. And she also looked at Amber Heard more often today, maybe to see how she was reacting or taking in some of the things that he said today that were very harsh towards Amber Heard. And so it makes me think maybe he's growing on the jury a little bit.
Right. What did you think of the actual evidence that he gave today about the violence that she's alleged to have committed against him? Again, we didn't get any of this in the UK.
It's so heinous to think if what he is saying is true. I mean, these are vile allegations. It has to be really tough for Amber Heard to sit here if she disagrees with it or if it indeed is untrue.
There wasn't much head shaking from her. She was pretty much impassive throughout. Same expression. Like I call it the on the verge of tears expression,
yes.
The trembling lower
lip. Perfect description all day long. And what strength that takes to do that. I know she's a professional actress.
This is something. 6 or 7 hours straight holding that same pose,
right.
Which is clearly something she's decided to do because she could be doing the shaking and the sarcastic laughing or whatever, you know. But that's what she's decided she's going to present to the world while she hears these allegations.
It's a multi-dimensional expression, too, that can be read many different ways.
Yeah.
And so I think it's good for her, and that shows her strength in sitting there, because I don't know if I could do that if I was sitting there and someone was saying what he was saying on the stand about her.
But this is the thing, that it is driving that sharp wedge between two completely different versions of reality.
Yes.
And it's making the gap even wider.
Yes.
He is detailing, and he did it in a way that did not seem as if he was making it up. That's probably the sort of most neutral way of putting it. He's an actor, maybe he's acting, I don't know. But it didn't look like he was groping for specific made-up details. He was seemed to be calling it as he saw it. Now, that's his reality, which is diametrically opposed to the reality that was presented in the London trial and the reality that I'm sure we're going to get presented during her evidence. It's head spinning, isn't it? I mean, there's no common ground here.
There's no common ground. So what a job this jury has to try to see what is actually true. Is it somewhere in the middle of each of these sides? Are there points of truth in either story? That's their job. I'm glad it's not my job. But you're so correct in that the way that he's telling this story, he's really painting a picture of himself as a victim.
Yeah.
Not just with Amber Heard, but really his entire life.
If
you think about what he said about his mother being so abusive to him. And I think it was really masterful for his case to tie in what he went through as a child and his mother to the relationship with Amber Heard.
The running away from the fight,
yes.
The fact that he said explicitly, I realized I'd married my mother.
Exactly.
The thing that we have to keep sight of, and which the jury will be constantly reminded of, is that they're not deciding who was the abuser. They are deciding on the basis of a newspaper article that was written and allegations that were made about Amber Heard in public through other newspaper articles.
They are, in a way, deciding who was the abuser.
Well, this is the thing. Can they have that deliberation? Can they go, Johnny Depp may have been involved in a physical altercation, but he was as much of a victim as she was, therefore I'm finding, but then they can't make that decision to find for them both on that understanding. They have to filter it through the context of the publications,
exactly.
The newspaper articles.
Yeah. So it's a limited question they find, but they can consider all the context surrounding the limited question. So in whether or not this article defamed Johnny Depp, they do have to sort of decide if she was lying. Was she a victim of domestic abuse or wasn't she?
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does, but it is complicated because it's not straight up and down. And right. This is what happened in the final 20 minutes of today when we had the cross-examination. Now, you would expect that at 4:40 on a Wednesday afternoon, after a number of grueling hours in the witness box, that the judge and the parties would just say, OK, let's call it a day and we'll start the cross-examination tomorrow. But they are behind, and the judge made that point, you know, time is not on our side. So the cross-examination started in the final minutes of the day. And it became very clear the tack that Ben Rottenborn, Amber Heard's attorney, was taking. He was going straight to the article and making the point that all these allegations that Johnny Depp was making about Amber Heard have nothing to do with this article. Is that a fair summary of where he was going with that?
Yes.
Or is there a wider game plan that I'm missing?
No, I thought it was a great, knowing he only had about 20 minutes to pick up where the direct left off. So the direct examination culminated with that article, his thoughts about the article. And so in that limited amount of time, he knew he could target that to begin the cross. And so it was a great starting point. And it got to the heart of the issue, right? Mm. Why we're here, which is this article.
Yeah, so, which you're not named in. And which only contains one paragraph,
exactly.
Which has any reference.
And did you see how Johnny Depp's demeanor changed a little bit? I think you mentioned it earlier. He could perked up a little bit, talks back a little bit more.
Leaned forward into the microphone.
A little bit more impatient. Mm-hmm. And also, Mr. Rottenborn's cut him off. He's not letting him talk for 10 minutes. These answers. That's purposeful and that's planned, and he's trying to gain control. It's all about who has control of cross.
So. One nuance in this was that his side, Johnny Depp's side, used the online article, which was published clearly the day before the Washington Post printed article, which contained the phrase sexual violence in the headline. Yet the article which Ben Rottenborn showed to Johnny Depp didn't have the same headline, which I didn't know. And it takes the phrase sexual violence out of it. Mm-hmm. Now, I suspect there's something that could be made of that,
but what's the
tactic here?
It's on purpose. He also used this newspaper version in opening statements instead of the online article, which shows a very glamorous photo of Amber Heard at her premiere. And with that headline, and that's intentional because it looks more legitimate in the newspaper form as an op-ed than it does on the online version, right? As you show, as a web page.
So that's the reason for it, not the fact that the phrase sexual violence is not in that op-ed
headline. Oh, I'm sure that has to do with it too. Plus, that title of the online version is one of the basis of defamation. The title is an issue here that this jury will have to consider whether or not that defames Johnny Depp. So they are kind of taking that out.
Because we ought to point out that the newspaper version has a much, I need to say lamer,
general.
A much milder, generic kind of title about rights for women rather than victims of sexual violence.
Right. So multi-purpose strategy there to show the newspaper version as opposed
wheels
to
within
the online.
Wheels. But,
and Johnny caught it right off.
This
is the 19th. So.
Yeah. So, we've just started the cross-examination. I presume you'd be surprised if it finished tomorrow.
I could see it possibly finishing tomorrow afternoon. But again, there's years that they go through, 2014, 2015, 2016. But the pace will be much quicker because, again, he's going to cut Johnny off. He's going to ask for yes or no answers, and it's going to be more contentious. So this is a really big test for Johnny Depp on how he handles the pressure. Now, you've seen him in the UK under cross, but here I think it may be even more.
I have to say, he already, in the way that he's responded to the questions from Amber Heard's attorney, was much more on the front foot than it was in London. In London, he lay back, he answered the questions, he was super, super polite. I think, well, it didn't work for him in London, did it?
Right.
So maybe he's trying a different tactic here. Maybe it's because there's a jury and he thinks, or maybe he's just fed up with it all and wants to say what he wants to say. I don't know.
What else does he have to lose?
Well, this is the thing. And Ben Rottenborn is trying to make the point that he'd lost all his movie roles as a result of the domestic violence allegations, which he didn't act upon in 2016.
Yeah.
And I think he's trying to say, well, this 2018 op-ed's for the birds, isn't he? And that's a real tactic that he's pushing already.
Right.
And
that goes to damages.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
Okay, explain that then.
They also have to prove damages in a civil suit. So not only was your reputation injured, but you lost something. But he's saying he lost movie roles and money, millions of dollars. That's why he's suing for $50 million.
Yeah.
So the $100 million, that's a statement. I don't really think this is about money. This is personal,
oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, it's reputation, isn't it?
The amount that you seek shows how important this is to you. $50 million is a lot of money.
Thank you very much for participating in this episode of Reporting Depp v. Heard. If you would like to support my work, I'd be enormously grateful. All you have to do is go to reportingdeppvheard.net/newsletter and make a one-time only donation. I've been told that one-off doesn't make any sense in America. So if you make a one-time only donation to get the newsletter, which you will every day after court, and it would also help power my reporting on YouTube and on the Reporting Depp v. Heard podcast. We will have another full day of Johnny Depp, this time being cross-examined by Amber Heard's attorney over the course of 7 hours in Court 5J from Fairfax County Court. But from the court and from me, for now, goodbye.
I'm Nick Wallace. This is Reporting Depp v. Heard.